Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney and former mayors Michael Nutter and Ed Rendell are all throwing their support behind different presidential candidates. Kenney is supporting Elizabeth Warren, Rendell is backing Joe Biden, and Michael Nutter, he's stumping for another Mike, billionaire latecomer Mike Bloomberg.
I believe my unique set of experiences in business, government, and philanthropy will enable me to both win and to lead.
At a recent rally in Philly, Nutter introduced Bloomberg, sounding more like Mixmaster Mike from his DJ days than the mayor who served Philadelphia for 8 years.
Hello, Philadelphia! At a time of great crisis, at a time of challenge, at a time of recklessness, it is time for Mike Bloomberg. Because Mike's going to get it done.
Why is Mike Nutter supporting Mike Bloomberg for president? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. David Morrell is a reporter for Philadelphia Magazine. He spent time with Nutter on the campaign trail. So, David, how did they first meet, Mike Nutter and Mike Bloomberg?
Nutter and Bloomberg first met in 2007, shortly after Nutter won the Democratic primary for mayor here in Philly. And Nutter was sort of seeking input about how to run a big city, and he went to two cities in particular, New York City and Chicago, and when in New York, shadowed Mike Bloomberg for a day. He was mayor at the time, and they've sort of maintained a relationship ever since then.
We've been through a lot of things together. I've supported him. He supported me. I really like the guy.
What did Nutter see in Bloomberg that made him so impressed with him?
I think Nutter saw someone in Bloomberg that sort of shared a lot of his policy views.
Gun violence, gun safety, climate change, health, education.
When Bloomberg was the mayor of New York, he cut the homicide rate almost in half and sort of made a big effort to improve education and also sort of work on climate change. And if you think back to Nutter's tenure here in Philadelphia as mayor, you sort of see a lot of the same. And then I think also there's an element of temperament here. Just the two mayors are sort of both kind of wonky, technocratic types. Neither one is going to blow you away with their oratory skills, but they're sort of kindred personalities in some respect.
There's a Bloomberg Facebook ad that says something to the effect, "Bring back boring, Mike Bloomberg." What do you think makes Bloomberg boring, and why are they advertising that?
I think, like I was mentioning, you know, Nutter and Bloomberg sort of share this wonky temperament, and certainly, from the Bloomberg campaign's perspective, they sort of are presenting themselves as like the foil to Donald Trump. Nutter and Bloomberg both sort of have joked before that, you know, they would like to go back to the days when the president wearing a tan suit was a controversy. Of course, the idea being that with, you know, the current president being so scandal prone, maybe we could go back to days where boring is actually sort of a relief.
He's a serious person about serious business. At the same time, which, you know, maybe many of the voters don't get to see, is actually pretty funny and has a good heart and soul.
So that's how they're framing Bloomberg.
This seemed to come up all of a sudden. How did Nutter get the political director job for Mike Bloomberg?
They've sort of been talking to each other about a potential Bloomberg candidacy for a while now.
I was encouraging Mike to run for president back about a year ago, in January, February 2019.
At the time, Bloomberg, for whatever reason, didn't want to do that. Fast forward a few months later, and Bloomberg apparently started to think that none of the candidates he saw were electable against a Donald Trump figure.
Looking at data, looking at evidence, looking at information, because that's who Mike Bloomberg is, he decided that at least he was concerned enough as to whether or not any of the Democrats running at the time could actually beat Donald Trump in the general election. And again, I and many others encouraged him to do so, and he decided to go.
So, you know, as Bloomberg started realizing that he might be the electable candidate, there was sort of one big hurdle still, which was the fact that during Bloomberg's entire tenure as mayor of New York City, He had allowed stop and frisk to be sort of a main tenet of his police policy. So in the lead up to his declaration for president, he gave a big speech at a black church in Brooklyn and apologized.
However, today, I want you to know that I realize back then I was wrong, and I'm sorry.
And Mike Nutter was sort of closely involved in the drafting of that testing out the waters sort of speech. And not long after that, when the speech was, you know, fairly well received, at least they seem to think, then Bloomberg asked Nutter to take the position of national political director.
But David, Nutter allowed stop and frisk when he was mayor of Philadelphia, right? That was sort of like a mainstream position.
Yeah, it's true. And both Bloomberg and Nutter lowered the crime rate. I mean, so, you know, you can argue about the sort of ethical questions taking place, you know, surrounding that policy. But those administrations would tell you that they did what they had to. And they also would tell you that with the sort of benefit of retrospection, they can tell you that maybe there was a better way. But in the moment when the crime rate was really high, they felt they had no other choice.
A couple of days after I talked with David, audio resurfaced of Michael Bloomberg defending the use of stop and frisk in 2015.
95% of your murders and murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25.
That clip was hard to hear, so I'll repeat it. It said 95% of your murders, murderers, and murder victims fit one MO. You can take a description, Xerox it, pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 16 to 25. Both progressive and conservative activists have called these statements racist. Bloomberg said in a statement to NPR that he should have stopped the practice sooner and apologized for, quote, taking too long to understand the impact it had on black and Latino communities, end quote. We reached back out to Michael Nutter to ask if he too regretted the use of stop and frisk during his time as mayor of Philadelphia.
I regret anyone who was improperly treated by a Philadelphia police officer who may not have been doing anything. And if they were improperly stopped, if they were abused, if they were hassled, if they felt uncomfortable, if they were in a bad circumstance that could have turned even worse, then I am very sorry about that, because I would never tolerate anyone abusing a citizen, abusing one of my family members.
But you don't regret using the tactic as one of many to quell homicides in the city or crime?
I regret anyone who was abused.
Sure.
I believe part of my job is to make sure that we use every tool that is available, legally available.
We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm speaking to Philadelphia Magazine reporter David Morrell about why former Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter is stumping for presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg. So Mike Nutter is national political director for Bloomberg's campaign. What does he do exactly?
He does a lot of things, mostly traveling and acting as the sort of top campaign surrogate for Bloomberg. So, you know, really when you see the Bloomberg campaign, you're going to get a mayor named Mike. It's just a question of which one. but he basically sells people on, you know, the Bloomberg candidacy.
The message is that Mike Bloomberg built a company from scratch, employs over 20,000 people across the country and around the world, one of the most successful companies on the planet, and he's an executive who knows how to get things done.
Trying to convince on-the-fence voters.
You know, kind of what I refer to now as Mike Curious. They haven't endorsed, but they're thinking about him.
And, you know, he's been bopping all over the country in the last month or so, you know, hitting the West Coast.
Went to San Diego, Sacramento, San Francisco, Oakland, Washington State, Seattle and Tacoma, Colorado, and marched in the Marade, which is the Martin Luther King Day Parade.
I mean, he's been in, you know, five states in as many days. I'm sure it's not an uncommon amount of travel for him.
You recently traveled with Nutter on one of these campaign swings for Bloomberg. What was that like? And did Nutter remind you of the Philly mayor you once knew?
When I saw him, you know, he had a sort of day where he made four different stops, speaking all to very small groups. So he started off at a diner in Leesburg, Virginia, which is about an hour outside of D.C. Then he moved to closer to the D.C. suburbs. And Nutter was certainly, I think, at most in his element, sort of among startup-y types or people who are kind of infrastructure nerds, policy wonks, not unlike himself. What I found interesting is he, A, never really referred to the other Democratic candidates by name, and also didn't really refer to Donald Trump by name either, instead referring to him as just, quote, the current occupant of the White House. So in some ways, the aim is to sort of take all attention off everyone else and focus it entirely on Mike Bloomberg, which, you know, to me is an interesting strategy because he still is in a Democratic primary where he's going to have to earn votes from other Democratic candidates. So the sort of lack of attacking, or not even attacking, but juxtaposition on that day anyway was striking.
It's almost as if he's running a general election during primary season.
Right. Well, that's what they will tell you. I mean, they were not even on the ballot in Iowa, I don't believe. They've sort of entirely moved on from the first four early voting states and are basically placing all of their chips on the early March Super Tuesday states.
Why?
I mean, you just have to be practical. If you announce in late November, all the other candidates, I mean, they've been living in Iowa, New Hampshire for 8-9 months. But also, just from a number standpoint, those four states in February represent 3.9% of the delegates that you need to become the Democratic nominee. Super Tuesday, you know, on the 3rd, March 10th, and beyond in March represents 60% of the delegates. And so, I mean, some of this is just, you know, math.
While everyone has been in Iowa, they have not been in the 14 Super Tuesday states. So Bloomberg has been opening campaign offices in many of those states. I think they probably at this point have the most robust ground operation of any of the other candidates, and it also helps to have hundreds of millions of dollars you can use to spend on television ads.
Mike Bloomberg is a billionaire, so would he be taking any campaign contributions?
He is not taking any campaign contributions for the reason you just mentioned, which is that he is a one-man campaign contribution. He's spent $300 million worth of money just on advertising alone. The framing from the campaign is that this is a sort of selfless act. You know, I am the one who can defeat Donald Trump, and that's why I'm, you know, sort of spending my billionaire time doing that as opposed to sort of the more conventionally enjoyable things one might be doing if you had $1 billion. $55 billion, actually, I think.
And that's really interesting that Mike Nutter would hook up with a guy who isn't taking any campaign contributions, because Nutter, when he was mayor and when he was on council, was a campaign finance reformer. And so the fact that he would hook up with Bloomberg kind of makes sense.
In some ways, it makes sense because Bloomberg isn't soliciting any campaign contributions.
The issue about campaign contribution limits is to limit the influence of outside, external, non-government people. In Mike Bloomberg's case, since he's only accepting money from himself, he's not subject to anybody's influence.
On the other hand, you could argue that it doesn't really make sense because, you know, what Nutter did while in council was try to limit the amount of expenditures one person could have towards a campaign, right? So in some ways, that might strike you as at odds with where he was before. The other sort of funny linkage here in terms of campaign finance is just that when Nutter himself ran for mayor in 2007, one of his opponents was a self-funded millionaire by the name of Tom Knox.
So, oh, I remember him.
Right. So he's gone from running against a very wealthy individual to now supporting one.
Huh. So it's clear, David, that Bloomberg is a wild card, that He has a lot of money to make a serious impact, but I don't think his opponents are taking him too seriously. But Mike Nutter has jumped on this train. Why do you think he's doing this in his post-mayoral life?
You know, I think it comes down to, if you go back to this conversation that Nutter and Bloomberg apparently had last January with Mike Nutter prodding Bloomberg to run, to me it seems like this is an individual who Mike Nutter, you know, has known for decades, well, more than a decade, and, you know, has significant policy overlap with. And in some ways, you know, he feels like this is the candidate who with whom he most closely aligns politically. And that is enough reason in its own right to take on this pretty big task of traveling the country supporting Mike Bloomberg.
I mean, I was really kind of minding my business, and then all of a sudden, my friend Mike Bloomberg decides to run for president. Not exactly what I was thinking I'd be doing in 2020, but it's here in front of me, and I have an obligation to be engaged and get involved.
So do you think that if, you know, Bloomberg does win, that Nutter will take a job in his administration if Bloomberg offers it?
I asked Nutter that, and he very immediately said no. And he said before he has no interest in being involved in political life any further. So we'll, you know, if Bloomberg wins, we'll have to see if he keeps his word or not. But that would, again, seem to indicate that, you know, Nutter is doing this not for some sort of grand plan, but rather because he just thinks Mike Bloomberg is the best candidate for this office. Whether or not it's selfless, it's harder to say.
Well, David, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Philadelphia Magazine reporter David Morrell. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Dern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. And by the way, what you're hearing is Mike Nutter performing Rapper's Delight.
You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Purple and yellow, but first I got bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie, say, oh, jump the boogie to the bang.